There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
You're a slimy scumbag. Get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that's not quite ready for its close-up yet. So, Lee is out tonight. She is not feeling very well. But that doesn't stop us because, you know, well, Lee's really not that important anyway. But joining me tonight, please no one tell her that, is...
It's not like you're recording this or anything,
right? That's true.
No repercussions whatsoever.
No, I'm sure everything will be fine. That voice you hear is Brian from DC TV. You'll know him as Brian from DC TV.
Right. Yeah. You may have seen me on such television shows as... No, I'm sorry.
So Brian is responsible for heading up the whole things that you... Well, basically, most of the video stuff that you see around Dragon Con, right?
Yeah, pretty much. That's my fault.
You have only him to blame. Let's get at it real quick. So explain what, for those that don't know, which I imagine most people listening to this do know, but for those that don't know, what is DC TV? And I know we do this every year, but how did it come about? Because it's such an interesting story. It's the classic director story tale where, oh, hey, you know, it'd be cool if we did that. Oh, crap.
We did that, and oh, now we have to. Yeah. So I've been volunteering for Dragon Con since 1998, and that was another one of those, oh, really, why did I do this, where that was the only year I've ever attended by buying a membership.
Mm. And you volunteered. And,
yeah, so I ended up getting, like, essentially pulled out of the audience by a friend of mine who was volunteering for Tech Ops.
Oh, yes.
So I was, that was one of the years where the technical operations crew had this sort of sea change, and a lot of the people from the previous year didn't return. And, this was also back, you know, back in the days, we were in one hotel. it's like, oh, 10,000 people showed up and they were only in the Hyatt. And okay. So I'm attending this panel and I'm watching, Ray Bradbury talked to Harlan Ellison and that guy from Ain't It Cool News about, you know, writing and how the internet won't be the death of youth in America. Bored teenagers will. And everything's going great. And there's a Larry Niven story in there about making nitroglycerin as a kid. That's a whole nother podcast right there. And all of a sudden, my friend Jody comes in and says, hey, we need help, and like kind of drags me out of the audience. I'm like, but I was watching people. And find out that like Tech Ops is down to 6 people, and they're trying to run this entire show. And I'm like, well, I can help. What do? I can run sound. I can do cameras. And then one of the volunteers sleeping under the table skirt goes, wait, he can do sound? I'm like, wait, what did I get myself into? So flash forward like 6 hours, and I'm running around at a Misfits concert in the Grand Ballroom, where they now have the art show. Trying to find the end of a lighting control cable that's been disconnected. So that right now the Misfits are playing in the dark. So that kind of like started me on the whole path of working with Dragon Con. And I did TV and radio in college, not professionally. I went to an engineering school. And so we like actually fixed parts of the radio station and then talked on it and then made the TV station work. And then only the engineers were involved. So the engineers had to learn how to edit video and play with cameras. So yay, nerds. So I've done some video work professionally and like semi-professionally over time. And so it was just one of those things where I was the guy who was running the cameras. And one year I had recruited a few more people to run the cameras. And so there were many people that could do camera things. And 2002 rolls around, and two of the people that are running camera were like, we should make an intro for the guys from MST3K who are hosting the Masquerade because we're fans. And I'm like, that's great. It's Thursday. Masquerade's on like Sunday? Yeah. And we haven't even written anything. So one of the guys drags his Mac out of the back of his car, and we set it up in the balcony of the Centennial Ballroom and start writing, you know, while we're running like sound and loading in panels and doing all the other tech op stuff. We start writing a bit to introduce the MST3K guys. And I get some light permission from Pat Henry, who's the chairman of the convention, to run this thing. And I show it to him right before we put it on. And he's like, this is great. And it was a Star Wars crawl that eventually pans down to the MST3K planet. You know, that's the end of the gag. And then the guys come out and it gets a great response. And Pat Henry comes up to us at the end of the show and says, that was great. What are you going to do next year? Oh no. Ooh, right in Admiral Akbar and everything, right into the trap. So the next year we say, okay, well, this is in 2003. We get to do this. Like, all right, what do you do when you go to a big show? You go to the movies, there's 20, 30 minutes of those really terrible local ads. This is before Coca-Cola took over the 20 minutes before your movie experience. And like, oh, it's these bad lawyer ads and things. We'll make sci-fi versions of them. So we do a couple of these sort of like slides that like the bad real estate agents would make to put ahead of movies. Start running this stuff. So like, you know, AOL was still a thing back then. So AOL and the Matrix merge, you know, and now you get 753 minutes on the Matrix. and these kind of things come up. And then we make three video ads. One of them being Stormtroopers Gone Wild, which we still run to this day.
Yes, you know.
And then we made sort of a like ITT type of commercial, but for Stormtroopers. You know, how do they learn how to shoot so badly? How to learn how to miss the hero? How do they learn how to fall into a pit dramatically? They must have gone to school for this. And then there was one other, the Starship sale, where it's Sunday, 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 and we're selling off all the Starships from canceled TV shows, which always gets like a hilarious response until you hit the show that everyone's a fan of, and then they boo at you, which at the time we did this right after Firefly had been canceled. Ooh. So the boo, and then we ran the ad again after Serenity had been announced, yay, and then Serenity came out, boo, and it just sort of went up and down, and the Battlestar Galactica wasn't a thing, and boo, and then they came back, yay, and so we then kind of realized that those three videos set the formula for what we wanted to do, which was we would slowly, you know, like build little bits that played at the culture of the convention. And Dragon Con's a big enough sort of umbrella of sci-fi that you can basically pick at anything. You could take like an obscure little thing from Stargate and make a bit out of it. And, you know, out of the 70,000 people that show up, 10,000 people think it's funny. And you kind of spread that out across the entire oeuvre of your science fiction and fantasy. And in doing that, we've also sort of learned that while people are watching and laughing, you can inform them about how they should behave at the convention or tips that they can get. So when most of this we do through aping the Adult Swim bumper format, the black background, white text that they do in between their bits. And we've sort of adapted that to be the sort of informative voice for the convention. So you can, you know, we'll tell you about something cool about the Dragon Con app. And then once we know you've pulled your cell phone out, we'll tell you to turn the ringer off. Because it's rude when your phone goes off in a panel.
Yes,
and then kind of sort of provide the sort of glue that ties the convention together when nothing's actually happening.
Yeah. So then at some point you started doing the actual DC TV to the hotel rooms, right?
Yeah. So that's an odd little thing that happened too. When I came on at Tech Ops, this is like a year or two after I started doing camera work. I said, hey, you know, we have this problem of the Masquerade, the room that the Masquerade's in holds like 2,100 people tops. At this time, there were maybe like 20,000 people showing up at the convention, and we had two hotels, the Hyatt and the Marriott. All right, so now we have this real problem. Everybody that wants to see the big thing at the end of the show can't get in to see the big thing at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. Well, hotels have these things called dark channels, and it sounds really cool. It's a dark channel, you know, like Snowden should be hanging out on it or something. It turns out that it's just a hotel channel that the hotel reserves for conferences. And they normally do really boring stuff with them. Like you give them a DVD and you make the DVD loop and you end up going to a woodworkers conference, and it's 2 hours of woodworking commercials. from the sponsors of the Water Workers Conference. Mm-hmm. Woohoo. What we did is we convinced the convention, since we have really a ton of people coming to see the show, would they let us broadcast some things live to that channel? And so the only thing we used it for a couple of years was just showing the masquerade. There's literally this cable that came out of the wall in the back of a room, and we ran another really long cable and modulated this thing to channel 3 in analog, because old, and ran it down to the basement of the Hyatt and plugged it in, and everybody in the Hyatt could see the show. And that worked really well. And then the Marriott was like, we'd like to get in on some of that action. And so we jury-rigged a way to get the signal over to the Marriott. And after a year or two, I wasn't really happy with the way we were doing that. And we were going to add a third hotel. So when the Hilton came back on board. So we figured out a way to use the majesty of the Olympics, all of the fiber optics they installed for the Olympics back in 1996. And you can lease that.
Oh, really?
And so we lease a fiber connection between the Hyatt, the Marriott, the Hilton, the Sheraton, and the Westin. And we go into the Hyatt, and basically we have it used to be, you know, like, we'll throw some video equipment together. We'll get a really janky switcher and some spare equipment. And it's grown into, okay, we're going to run something on this. Instead of just the masquerade, we'll run it 24 hours a day. And it'll be just a loop of content we have, and we'll run some fan films, and occasionally we'll show some stuff live from the Centennial. Then it became, oh boy, the convention's huge. You can't possibly see everything. What if we showed a lot of stuff live from the Centennial and then recorded stuff in other rooms and then at certain times played those things back to the other hotels? Now it's turned into this giant computer running live stream studio. We have one of these like stockbroker setups where you have 4 monitors on an arm and you get to see all the audio meters and the program out and the previews, and things are coming in live. So now with the upgrade that we have, we can do a lot of things. We can broadcast live from the Centennial. Mm-hmm. We can broadcast live for the first time this year from the Atrium.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because we found out most of our rebroadcasts are things that happen in the Atrium, because the Atrium is actually a bigger room than the Centennial Ballroom in the Hyatt. It's like 2,400 people. And you put really big stuff, like all the Gotham guests are going to be in there. Brett Dalton from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is in there a couple of times. Amy Pond, you know, just, you know.
Small
things, you know. So that kind of stuff, we have the option of, we can show one of those two rooms live, and then we can record in the other main ballrooms, like the Sheraton Grand and the Hilton Grand and the Peachtree and the Westin and the, what am I forgetting, the Regency 6-7 ballroom in the Hyatt. So there's 6 ballrooms that we can pull content from. And we have the option of showing some of those things on a replay, along with a lot of the comedy bits that we do, and the Late Show, which is our sort of daily, here's what's going on at the convention. And it's at 9 o'clock in the morning, because if you're up at 9 o'clock in the morning, you stayed up the night before. So that's why it's our Late Show. So it's sort of like Conan O'Brien in a different time zone. And then you get news updates at 2 at 6:30. Now as well. So we run around the convention and produce segments and highlight tracks off main programming. So you get to see highlights. Last year, you got to see highlights from wrestling backstage. You got to see the Kaleidoscope track. You got to see kids doing lightsaber battles. You got to look at the running of the Buffets, which was a running of people dressed up as Jimmy Buffett in Jurassic World running from dinosaurs.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. There's so much going on at the con. There's no way that one person can take it all in. So we now have like dozens of people running around the convention trying to cover these panels and events and the parade and these little corners of the con that you miss. You know, if you stand in line, you know, Monday morning to see William Shatner, there's an hour of your time in that line where you might have missed something else at the con. Mm-hmm. Or if you decide to go to an event at the Sheraton, you missed an event in the Westin. And this is one of the other reasons we did this huge upgrade. So we've been doing kind of this DragonCon TV to the hotels concept for 11 years now. Mm-hmm. Kind of the way that, you know, with all of the content and the 24-hour programming, that's kind of been a thing since about 2005. What we're doing this year is we're adding a streaming option.
Yeah.
And this is something we've actually been staging for a couple of years. I've been making upgrades to where you don't see it in the hotels because of the way the hotel distribution system works. But about 3 years ago, everything in our chain went high definition.
Mm-hmm.
So every camera went high definition, all the recording went high def. And before we sent it to the hotels, everything we did in our internal process was 720p. So we were getting ready for the day where they would say, yes, we can do streaming. So we could just plug the internet into the end of that. So the streaming option is this year going to be available to people who have DragonCon memberships, i.e. people who bought the thing that Dan Carroll in Media Relations tells me not to call a badge, but everybody calls a badge. The laminated thing with your name on it with a cool picture that some famous artist draws for us. And if you pay 10 extra bucks, either you probably this won't go out before the 26th, but if it's before the 26th of August, congratulations, you can go to the store and pre-order it. If it's not, when you get to DragonCon and register, then you can go to the DragonCon store and buy one of these things on site. And this gets you access to everything we do in DragonCon TV, but through the magic of the internet. So if you're staying in a non-host hotel like the Days Inn or the Aloft or the Omni or the Ritz-Carlton, then you can get this as an adder and just use your laptop, tablet, Amazon Fire, whatever to watch this stuff. So it's everything we put on DragonCon TV, minus a couple of things that we have some guests that have contractual restrictions against streaming. We can't really do anything about them this year. We're going to try to work on it for next year. So there may be one or two panels that we can't broadcast to the stream.
Plus, sorry, there's some, if I remember correctly, there's some access to some of the older stuff as well, right?
Yeah, that's the other cool thing. There's a bunch of stuff from 2015 we've already uploaded. So for anybody who pre-orders it or who goes to the show and says, you know, I missed the masquerade last year and my roommate's snoring a lot, I'm not going to get any sleep. What should I do for the next 2 hours? You can watch the 2015 masquerade. You can watch the event we did at the aquarium last year, which these things we don't normally release out into the world. So those things are already preloaded and available. And for 3 months after the convention, we'll be uploading content from 2016. So we'll be putting the entire stream up that we did at the con this year, and then we'll upload panels that didn't make it onto the stream. Because keep in mind, I just said there's six ballrooms.
Yes.
Each ballroom is going to run like five or six panels a day. So let's say each ballroom generates 6 hours of content a day. Plus, we've got the masquerade, the parade, the Friday night costume contest, the Legend of the Chosen, which is the masquerade or sort of the costume contest in the aquarium. You can't get all of that on the air.
Right.
And a lot of people, when we're not going to do panels 24 hours a day. We're not going to show a replay of a panel at 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. 3 a.m, you're not going to want to sit there and watch something for an hour. You want to, you know, go back to your room, watch a couple of minutes of something wacky and then go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And when you come back during the day, if we just ran nonstop panels, attention spans, scheduling, cosplay changes, that's not going to fit your world. So it gives us a way to extend the convention for another 3 months. So you don't have that, you know, when you come back from con, you have that con drop. It's like I've had this 4 days of wonder. Well, now like 4.5 because we're starting Thursday night. And
don't tell Lee that.
You sort of like ramp down, like suddenly ramp down, like, oh, why are there no stormtroopers in my living room? Why is the R2-D2 in my action figure collection not talking to me? Oh, that's not an actual robot. That's just a toy I bought in the 70s. So this helps you kind of taper that off a little bit. And then we're going to use it as everything we learned from this, we're going to use to improve everything we do in 2017.
Right.
And hopefully we'll do like a bigger, better, badder type of thing.
Cool. So where is it going? Oh, so right now, as you mentioned, you have to have a membership.
Right.
And I know that other cons are kind of going the direction of, well, you can purchase a streaming only option for X number of dollars. Maybe it's more expensive than if you have a membership, obviously.
Right.
I know that you can't speak for DragonCon directly, but is that, do you think that's something that might happen in the future then?
That is something we have specifically talked about. I mean, that option you just described of having a streaming membership for people who can't attend is something that we want to work towards. Technically, you know, the problem we've had is not technology. The technology is better than when we first came up with the idea and started making plans. The things that we can do on Livestream Studio compared to what we were thinking about doing 2 or 3 years ago are incredible. Streaming has become a lot more common. Bandwidth is less expensive. Computer capabilities. It takes a pretty hefty computer to actually run this kind of streaming product and not have it lag or not have it break down while we're distributing it up to, you know, the cloud. Because the way Livestream works, you know, for all the nerds in the audience, there may be only 2 or 3. We have to format all of the streams that we're sending out, and we have to have enough horsepower to send a high-definition stream and a mobile-optimized stream. So we're not dealing with like a leftover laptop. You know, we bought new stuff to do this. Mm-hmm. So the convention is doing this in a way so that we know we're going to continue doing this and improve on it every year. So what we build is something we can expand on, something we can grow on top of, not something that we're just going to borrow for a year to do this one-off streaming option. The trick with doing a streaming-only package is you have to juggle the how much content do you put on it, what type of content, because right. You can't – something like Dragon – like if you do – BlizzCon is one thing we looked at. BlizzCon has a really nice streaming package. BlizzCon is also kind of a different environment. It really mostly happens in one room.
Right,
there's some
right.
other tournament things that happen off to the side, but most of the action is in a single room. It's a very single subject convention.
Yep.
It's Blizzard. They make games. They're putting on a convention that talks about their games. So they have a cool cosplay contest. They have announcements about the game. So it's sort of partially a marketing event, but a very much a fan event. But organized in a way so that if you see the stream, you've consumed most of the event, like a high percentage of the event. Mm-hmm. If you just were to watch Dragon Con TV for 4.5 days and never leave your room at Dragon Con, you would have missed Dragon Con. We can only give you like a slice of it in that sort of 16:9 single channel format. Mm-hmm. So what we have to do from a programming standpoint is pick the things that we want to show to the world. So that's why we've added the news events and the segments and that sort of thing, because if I just say, I'm going to show you everything in the Centennial and Atrium ballrooms, you get a very good selection of content, but you miss the kind of essence of the convention. And then there's legal stuff. You know, mm-hmm. actors work for studios. They have agents. They have different, you know, we pull in people from around the world. So we have a lot of people from Australia, New Zealand, Great Britain. I have to say Great Britain and Europe separately now. Sorry, that's going to be a thing soon. A lot of people are writing alternate history fiction about this very subject. So that was a good story prompt. Thank you, Brexit. But the nice thing is that we get everybody together. So when you're in the room, you get this experience. But there's restrictions on how you can record and distribute this commercially. And so some guests, we can put their stuff on the TV network. Some we can't. Some we can put it on the stream. Some we can't. And because we didn't announce the streaming product until closer to con, a lot of the contracts don't reflect the fact that streaming is an option at the convention. So there's some things we have to do structurally for next year to work around that so that when people come in, like if you do a smaller con, like MobileCon is actually very good about this. They've been using Twitch for the past couple of years to just sort of live push their stuff out into the world. Twitch isn't a great archival format. So I think like 3 months afterwards, they have to get stuff off Twitch and push it to other platforms. Mm-hmm. But they know they're doing that in advance. And some of the guests they're working with aren't really media guests. They're more behind the scenes type of folks or animators, or voice actors. They don't have the same kind of restrictions that a Karen Gillian or a Charlie Cox has in their contracts.
Right.
So it's a lot of moving parts. We spent months, and by we, I mean mostly Tommy Bird, the director of video broadcast at the convention, just trying to get the stuff down and perfect and making sure we can sell passes to, you know, roughly tens of thousands of people. So, yeah.
So how long do you think it is until there's a, you know, a Dragon Con TV channel 2?
Well, there kind of already is. So in five of the hotels, actually, no, I take that back. This is actually a new thing. So we started last year. We got a request from the convention. And the thing is, we also have this sort of we have this problem of predicting the future and then still not preparing for it. But like as a joke, like so a couple years ago, Crispy, guy does the interviews.
Right.
We were talking and we're like, well, you know, we spent a lot of time in the basement of these hotels looking at their tech equipment. And we're like, you know, most of these hotels don't have a dark channel. They have two or three. So like you go to the Westin and you check in and there's SPG, you know, Starwood Television. I travel a lot, so I see a lot of this stuff. Yeah. And it's that hotel channel that like loops and has professional video of showing this guy and like he's going to Singapore and Hong Kong and he's living the life. And meanwhile, you're in Albuquerque and in a loft hotel going, that would be great. But I don't get to go to Singapore. I am in Albuquerque. Weird Al wrote a song about Albuquerque. This is not going well. But they have that pre-produced stuff for the hotel chain. And then you've got like one channel for their conventions and like a third channel just in case they decide to add something. So we're looking at it like, you know, there's a second channel in the Hyatt. Maybe we could just burn a DVD of the old stuff and just sneak it on there one day. And that way, if people say, I want to watch this classic bit, we have a classic loop, like a TV Land kind of thing. Ha ha ha, that's great. Our media empire is expanding, whatever. And then, like, we finish the con, and then we start into the director's meeting the next year, and Rachel Reeves comes to us and says, you know what we would like to do? We'd like to add a classics channel to the unused dark channels in the hotels. Like, what? I mean, yeah, we can do that because we thought of it, but we weren't going to tell you that we could do it. So we went through the back catalog of what we've done. And again, we've been doing this since 2005. I used to make conventions for the DVDs for the convention since people used to buy round shiny discs and put them into a physical place. It was, you know, sort of like sort of a combination between like Netflix and AOL. You know, you had to have this physical disc to get you onto the internet.
Kids, ask your parents.
Yeah. And the thing is, so I've got like a rack in my office, and I've got all the DVDs going back to 2004 sitting over here. So we had lots of content. The DVD was an attempt to get Dragon Con down into a 2-hour highlights package, which was an utter failure. And so it ended up being like a set of 3 or 4 DVDs. So I'm like, well, with all these DVDs, we've got hours and hours of content, and then we have all the bits we've produced, and then we've got, since we started going digital, all these panels are just big files. So I just take the big files and make them into slightly smaller files. We could probably build a loop of, like, you know, 12 hours of content. So we got one of the guys to work on it, and Jonathan comes back after a while and says, we have 29 hours of content in 2014. I'm like, but I wanted you to cull it. It's like, I did cull it. We have 29 hours of pretty good content. I'm like, okay. So we rig up this, like, we literally went out and bought like a Raspberry Pi kit, these little single board computers you can buy for like $40, and then went out and bought a 64 gig memory card for like $20. And they have, all the hotels are mostly still analog, so you have to go out and find the weird breakout cable, which is compatible with, hilariously enough, for all you podcast fans, the Microsoft Zune. So if you go on Amazon and you find a Microsoft Zune cable, it'll have discontinued in the name on Amazon because Zune. You can buy them for like $5 a piece, and they're compatible with the Raspberry Pi. So we just go out and buy those little discarded Zune cables and a Raspberry Pi and a plastic case and some memory, and we bolt that together and put some playback software on it and a little thing to put the logo up in the corner. And now this year it's 50 gigabytes of content. It runs 30-something hours, and it's, you know, from 2004 all the way up to 2015 that you can just plop down in any of the 5 host hotels and the Omni and the Ritz-Carlton and watch this, you know, sort of history of Dragon Con when you get tired of watching. You know, like, you just need an hour off, and you're like, okay, I don't want to watch this panel that's on. What else can I watch? Go over to this other channel. And it was just an interesting archival project to go through and like find all these things and actually confirm my backups work. And it just like, you know, so we have the Leonard Nimoy panel on there. One of the Leonard Nimoy panels is on there. And it's not the, like the main one he's doing with Shatner. It's the one that he did with our absent hostess, where he's talking about his photography. And it's like the first thing on there. There's a bunch of just stuff that I had almost forgotten that happened at the convention. The Firefly panel, when Nathan Fillion wasn't at the con, but he was calling in and prank calling all of the cast members in this rolling gag. And which is one of my, I actually was in the room for that. It's one of the funniest things I've seen at the convention that I can talk about on a podcast. And it is just the history of that, that we have that and can show it to people kind of readily, is really cool.
That's incredibly, that is incredibly cool. Now, I think it was 2 years ago, you started also going out to the parade and filming that, correct?
Well, we've been doing the parade for a while. The format of it has changed a little bit, but when the first parade happened in 2002, I was still a lowly tech ops minion, and I actually got to go out with my little DV, you know, Sharp DV cam. I had a DV cam, and B, I'm old enough to have something that was made by Sharp. So yay. And so I have like footage of walking alongside the parade. And it was a small thing. It was like a couple dozen people. And this is still over July 4th convention. So this is a really long time ago. So a couple funny stories about that. The reason the Dragon Con has a parade is in 2001, we shared a hotel with the Salvation Army. I don't know if you were actually around for that one or not.
Yeah.
But this is when Dragon Con didn't quite have enough game to sell out an entire hotel. We got really close. So we still shared room blocks. And so we had a room block with the Salvation Army, which was hilarious. You would see like these, you know, proper people in suits, you know, with all their pamphlets, get into an elevator with a bunch of goths. And one of the stories that I have from this is that the goths and the Salvation Army people are riding the elevator down to the lobby. And one of the, you know, Salvation Army people is kind of a, I guess, the stereotype of what you would expect, very sort of Protestant woman, and looks at the goths and says that she'll pray for them. And the goths ask, do we get to pick the god? At which point, thankfully, the elevator doors open and everybody parted ways. The better part about this is that the Salvation Army, when they have a convention, has a parade of nations because they're an international organization. So they arrange this with the city and they start this parade up Peachtree Street in front of the Hyatt. And Pat Henry was watching this parade happen in front of the street and is going, that's really cool. Why don't we have one of these? Now, coincidentally, in the lobby, there's a pack of stormtroopers. And I'm standing next to them because I'm watching. I'm showing up in the lobby for my shift. And I'm like, why is there a parade? And the stormtroopers are having this discussion through the intercoms on their helmets about, if we plan it right, which country could we jump into formation in between and just have 20 stormtroopers in the Salvation Army parade? Because, you know, you got to represent the empire, right? So they're standing there like, I think we can get in after Uganda, but somewhere before Zimbabwe. Yeah, there's not enough space. Let's wait for something French to come along. I think we can get Papua New Guinea. And then the hotel comes along and basically informs them if they get in the parade, they've been ejected from the convention.
Aww.
I didn't understand how they were going to identify which 20 stormtroopers participated in the parade. Like, you've got a perfect alibi. That wasn't me. That was Django. No, it wasn't Django. That was Django. No, it was totally Django. So, but anyway, both of those things kind of conspire. 2002, we have a parade. Also the same weekend, since it was July 4th, is Black Gay Pride. The protesters for Black Gay Pride, apparently some of them got lost and came to our parade instead. So somewhere in my footage, there's a guy with a John 3:16 sign walking next to a Klingon, looking very confused. So, but the parade has sort of grown since then. We have become the largest parade in Atlanta. There's over 3,000 participants this year. We started doing kind of a highlights package for the internet. We didn't cover the whole parade at first, and we tried out different commentators and tried out different formats. And what it came down to for a while was Crispy and I would go out and we would shoot the parade at a couple different camera angles. And then we would have somebody sit down, usually Tommy, and edit the parade so that it could be shown later that night. So we would basically shoot the parade at 10 o'clock in the morning. We'd finish up about 11, and then Tommy or I would get all this footage, capture it, and then crunch it down and try to have it done before it would take us, like, we'd have to show it before the masquerade on Sunday. But we got it down to a process where if we shot it Saturday morning, we could show it, like, and this is a three camera shoot with multiple commentators, we could get it down to an hour that we could show Saturday night. So that was pretty cool. And then we realized we had the capability to run it live. So you're right, about 3 years ago, we started doing it live from the street. So we put a video switcher out on the street. We got together Crispy and Ryan, who are my usual parade cohorts. And we put a couple cameras down on Peachtree Street. We got everything sorted out with the APD in the hotel. And we did a live parade. And the first year, we dressed up as sportscasters because we got the sportscaster headset microphones. And unfortunately, in the bridge colors of the Enterprise, so I had a, you know, it was a red jacket, a blue jacket, and a gold jacket. The red jacket didn't die. I still have it. It's polyester. You can't kill polyester. And then last year we dressed up as, MST3K hosts. So we had the Gizmonix, work shirt, and cause we're commenting on the parade. So that seemed appropriate. This year the parade, you know, 85,000 people are projected to watch the parade from the street. Over 3,000 people in it. It's attracted a little bit of attention from the city. So this year, the CW Atlanta is going to run the parade live on their network. So we get coverage from DragonCon TV with Crispy and Ryan and our friend Krista, who's done some of our backstage interviews. And I'll be hosting the parade coverage for the CW Atlanta. So 10 o'clock a.m., channel 69, if you're doing that antenna thing, or I don't remember what it is on Comcast. Check your local listings. Ooh, I get to say that officially. Check your local listings. That's cool. I've never got to do that before. And then they'll replay it at 8 p.m. So you can TiVo the parade for once. And then it'll also be available on CW's website for, I think, like a year as part of their video archives. And it'll be available on YouTube on DragonCon TV. The DragonCon TV coverage is going to be in front of the Hyatt. It'll be commercial free. It'll be the full run of the parade. The CW coverage is going to be at Peachtree and Pine, which is way further up because the CW is like the CW does coverage of the Falcons pregame. So they own like a satellite truck and really nice equipment. They have corporate sponsors and they have special camera angles. So they're going to do it up closer to the head of the parade so they don't get into a lot of the delays. So they can try to keep the parade from a 10 to 11 programming slot because at 11 o'clock they have to go back to network. But if the parade does run a little bit over when you watch the coverage again at 8, they'll have edited everything in from the full run. So you'll get two different viewpoints of the parade with kind of a different approach. So we have some really cool things planned for that. There's some guests from CW programming because CW runs a lot of sci-fi shows, right? They've got The 100, they've got iZombie, they've got Arrow, Flash, they've got a couple new things coming out. So we'll have some people drop in from CW shows that are also DragonCon guests. And then we'll have some folks from Netherworld and Six Flags coming by.
That's very, very cool. Yeah. So that's something that obviously new this year, as you mentioned. Yeah. And it should allow those folks, you know, it might actually help alleviate those folks that don't get to see the parade because it's just too much of a, it's too much of a hassle to get down to the parade, especially if you've been out all night the night before.
Yeah. It gives you a couple of different options because if you don't have a streaming membership or you're not a member of DragonCon at all, or if you have that annoying question from your friends like, what is it you do every Labor Day weekend? This is a good way. This is a good thing where you can say just 10 a.m. Atlanta, watch this thing.
Right.
You know, and you won't get the full idea, but you'll get kind of a concept of what we offer, the diversity of what we have, the different types of fandoms, the scale of the thing. Because when I describe it to people, you know, I'm in a pretty good position. I have a job where I can work remotely most of the time. I don't have any work obligations that happen over Labor Day. I get a decent amount of vacation. So I can say I'm going to take like a week and a half off and like prep and you know, have a day to recover and everything. Mm-hmm. And then people ask me, what are you doing? I mean, like, why do you take this week off every Labor Day? And I don't have a lot of coworkers in Atlanta. So I explain it, and some of the people I work with are in the computer industry. So they get Comic-Con. They understand the regional conventions, but they're used to like, oh, I go to BayCon. BayCon's cool, but it's got like a couple thousand people. Or I go to Gen Con. I'm like, well, Gen Con's just gaming. This is broad. Oh, I've been to Creation once. Creation's cool, but Creation's a corporate organization. This is a fan convention. I've been to a FilkCon. That's great. We have a Filk track, but we also have like 100,000 times more people than you have at your FilkCon. And I might have exaggerated a little bit for the impact. And then when I have my foreign coworkers and try to explain this, there are some translation errors. So it's nice just to be able to point at something and go, watch this for an hour and see if you get an idea of what we're up to.
Yeah. So that's actually pretty cool. So this year, what can we look forward to seeing coming out of DC TV in your skit area?
So we have the usual bumper sets. As usual, you would expect that we would make fun of the expansion of the convention. So the America's Mart is featured in a few things. We are talking, we may have got a question or two about Pokemon Go. Normally we do a thing called Ask DC TV where Stephen Grenade, who's the Science Track director, and because he's a doctor, he's a rocket scientist. Like he has stuff from the Hubble. He's that kind of rocket scientist. He will help us write bumpers. And the bumpers are the things, the Adult Swim thing I was telling you about, the white text on the black background. Right. And we normally use those as a way to answer fan and audience questions. 85% of them are about Pokemon Go. So we'll have a little bit about that. we, by the way, believe that Pokemon Go is essentially a scheme designed to train you to prepare for DragonCon because you're used to getting out and walking to go to something where you can earn a reward. So in this case, it is training everyone that since Hilton, the Hilton gaming's moved from the basement of the Hilton to an upper floor of the America's Mart. Right. This is training you to have the physical fitness to go from the Hilton to the America's Mart. You can survive the walk up the hill. You can survive the stairs and escalators. So you've been preparing. I cannot tell you how many kilometers it is because I do not play Pokemon Go and I am an American, but it is, it's a reasonable number of kilometers. You should hatch some eggs on the way. By the way, if you are coming to Dragon Con, if you see a Pikachu, it might, just make sure it's not a guy dressed as Pikachu because you're not allowed to catch him. That's kidnapping. That's against the law. Don't do that.
What's weird is I've been thinking all this year, all these years I've been catching Pikachu. After I come home from the con, I'm usually sick for a day or two, and I always thought that was Pikachu, but I guess I was wrong. Okay,
yeah,
so
you're going to catch Pika Flu.
Oh, Pika Flu.
That's a different type of thing. But we're also – so we have a couple of live action skits, some music videos, which are so fresh they're not finished editing yet. Sorry. Deadpool may or may not feature heavily in our skits this year. I'll let you decide how that's going to turn out.
Why would that be?
Why would that be a thing? By the way, what's the over-under this year? Is it more Stormtroopers or Deadpools?
Oh,
where
man.
Are we at on that line?
I don't know.
Last year, I thought it was going to be more Deadpools, and I was wrong.
Well, it was
still more Stormtroopers.
I still think it was close, though.
It was close, but the parade, there were not as many Deadpools. Now, there is a Deadpool conga line this year, mm-hmm. which we will be covering. That should be fun. And yeah, so we have a couple of Deadpool skits. We may or may not have a Deadpool music video. It may or may not be Disney inspired. We may or may not be making fun of Adele at some point. Who knows? And we are most definitely making fun of crappy movies and bad continuity in comics. So
Batman versus Superman, or
it may be in there. But we are, you know, one of the things that one of our favorite formats to go after is the infomercial. So we have an infomercial that's related to bad movies and bad comic continuity that I think everyone will enjoy. The infomercial is just a ridiculously wonderful format for parody because infomercials are poorly produced. So your production level you have to get to match your source material, that's a low bar to hurdle over.
Mm.
So right there, you're good. And then infomercials feature terrible acting. If you watch DragonCon TV, we're up for this. We can handle that. No problem. Low production values, bad acting, terrible subject matter.
We got this.
This is our game. We got this. It's that annoying thing where we try to like elevate our standards and make like music videos, you know, with 90 shots or parody the Mad Max trailer, which we did that for the Masquerade last year. We did Mad Max Peachtree Road, which was the intro for the Masquerade. And we're like, oh, with Mad Max is now a thing. We have to parody this. And then we're like, we'll just do a trailer mock-up, right? We'll parody the trailer. The trailer has 93 distinct shots in it.
Wow.
So this is August, because Mad Max didn't really become a thing till the summer. We're like, oh, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. This is one of the greatest movies of all time. And the trailer is a work of art, and we're going to try to make fun of it. Mm-hmm. Crap. I mean, we pulled it off, but still, it's one of those things where you're like, I should be sleeping and taking vitamins.
Well, you seem to have a history.
Why am I shooting a video?
You seem to have a history of doing this. I mean, it's how you started with, you know,
yeah.
Oh, we're gonna go ahead and decide to make this intro about, oh, I don't know, about 3 days before. Well, we're doing everything else.
So. Well, see, that's where we're at the Masquerade. We had a Masquerade intro written. And then they announced that two members of NSYNC were going to host the Masquerade. And we're all right, we have to put this in the shredder. We have to start over. That was 2 weeks ago that they made that announcement.
Yeah.
That we were getting the fat one, I mean, Joey Fatone, to host the Masquerade. And we're like, we have to do this. So we're probably shooting something.
Then it was Saturday. Not one, but two NSYNC.
So we have INS coming to host the Masquerade. Or is it Ink?
I would think they would be on the other end.
Okay. You think they're on the back end?
Yeah.
They're not the, yeah.
No, I don't think that they were.
Okay.
Fronting that
we're going to just walk away from that comedic line. We know that's going somewhere bad. So it's time for your next question.
Well, actually, my next question for you is there anybody that you want to see this year that really has piqued your interest that you haven't gotten a chance to meet or something this year?
Charlie Cox is a huge one.
Ooh,
I am a big fan of Daredevil.
So good.
The Netflix series, not the Ben Affleck thing. it is just probably that whole Marvel TV thing, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, the upcoming Luke Cage.
Yeah.
So Charlie, I think, is just a cool guy. I would really like to meet him. I definitely going to go to his panel. His panel is basically right before, is right after we did the late show in Centennial 2-3. So I get to get the Charlie Cox panel without standing in line. Suckers. Huge Hugh fan. So Karen Gillian, all the Who guests this year look amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, there's actually a couple of people in the science track that I would like to see. They always do a good job putting together things like Solferex. Solferex is the science variety show that Rachel Pendergrass produces for the science track. And that's kind of a mixture of science education and comedy. And those are always fun. There's probably like some old friends I want to see. I've gotten to know a couple of the guests over the years. So it's more like a personal thing. And, oh, these people are coming back. Some Mark Meer. Chris Gore from Film Threat is coming back as a guest. I think the thing that I'm really looking forward to is kind of the surprises. One of the things that, you know, when we talk about preparing for DragonCon, one of the things you have to let people know is that you're not going to get to do everything you think you're going to do. And that's not a bad thing. You typically come in with this great plan. And I know this as a director. We always come into every year with a plan of what we want to do to handle DragonCon, what events we're going to cover, the things we're going to do, the segments we're going to make, the equipment's going to work perfectly, all the cameras are going to be beautiful. And then life happens, right? You know, your roommate spills beer on your laptop, or you didn't set an alarm and you don't make it to the 10 o'clock panel. That doesn't mean you're not going to have a good time. The DragonCon is, I've always called it a shopping mall convention. Except, well, people go to DragonCon, people don't really go to shopping malls. But imagine a day where people went to shopping malls. It's sort of the everything, right? You go in and there's an anchor store. You have a Macy's and a Belk's and a Sears. And so those are kind of like the Centennial Ballroom, the Regency Ballroom, the Atrium Ballroom. Those are the big things that you know everybody's going to go to. And there's like a food court in the middle. And then there's all these little weird shops, the place that sells 400 hair bows. And you want nothing to do with 400 hair bows. Whoever's into Sailor Moon is all about 400 hair bows, and they're going to go through and pick the hair bows that they like the best. We're, as DragonCon, you'd be kind of the Spencer's area.
Yeah, you have.
And then you've got, you know, Voltaire's kind of like Hot Topic, and, you know, you've got Jonathan Coulton's running his little CD shop over in the corner. Paul and Storm, I guess, are the sunglasses kiosk. This analogy sort of breaks down the more I try to use it.
I think it's actually going very well.
You go to this one roof, and if you want to spend all day shopping for clothes, go right ahead. But if you want this and some shoes and you want to find one of the last Radio Shacks, it might still be open. And then there's that weird guy who walks around and talks to himself, but he seems pretty cool once you get to know him. That's kind of the DragonCon experience. You get to pick and choose what you do.
That's a very good analogy, actually. Okay, so let's wrap this up. Where can people find you? Where can people find more about DCTV? I mean, it's not like you're on social media or anything, right? I mean,
no, of course
they got
not.
An email.
Well,
they got
mean,
a, like,
since you're listening to a podcast, you may be aware we have this thing called the internet.
What?
So not
I've
only
been,
can it be used
I've been
to
making tapes and mailing
audio entertainment.
People.
It can also be used to find things like DragonCon.tv, which is the new streaming site. You can go there and read up on information about DragonCon. You can go into DragonCon TV on YouTube, on Facebook, or on Twitter, MySpace, and you can get information. You can find our old videos. You can see our announcements for the convention on social media. You've got DragonCon.org, which is the great place where all things DragonCon happen, and you can also find a link there to the store. And when you go to the DragonCon store, if you get this by the 26th, you have the option to pre-order the pass. If you don't, sorry, late downloaders, then just you can find out information about how to purchase your passes. And then CW Atlanta is, I don't remember the website. I think it's like cwatlanta.cbslocal.com. But if you just search for CW Atlanta, you'll find there, and they have a promo for the parade, and you can find out information about their broadcast.
Have they actually been advertising that too on their,
they've been doing some on-air advertising. They have a really good 30-second promo, and it's really good because we gave them 3 years of footage. They're like, what do you have on the parade? We're like, so we just sort of like threw the cloud at them.
Is it possible for you to give us less on the parade?
It was just sort of like, hang on. like I just sort of like took my OneDrive account and went, here is the parade from like 2013, like all the raw video from 2013. Here you go.
And if this isn't enough, just Google it.
I have a backup at home. And they're like, oh God, no. But yeah, they've actually been running a lot of promotion. They've been running a lot of meetings, which I've had to go to. But
really,
it's, they have some cool stuff planned. I'm
how
really
fun
looking
is that?
We're planning this thing. I don't know. Dragon Con is made of spreadsheets and meetings. It's just sort of the realization of a spreadsheet. It's like an Excel macro going horribly, terribly wrong.
It's not as sexy when you look behind the curtain.
No, not really. No, nothing. You would say nothing good ever happens in an Excel spreadsheet. Normally, you're right, but without Excel spreadsheets, you'd have no Dragon Con. So just think about that.
There you go. Well, Brian, thank you again. Oh, is there anywhere people can get your stuff?
Just oh, yeah. I am Silicon Chef on Twitter and also on Facebook.
Awesome Twitter handle.
But if you want to keep up with me more of the time, Twitter is better because I don't have a lot of time to blog anymore. So 140 characters seems to work for me.
Yeah, this works. And I think Twitter's doing okay. I've heard it might.
They'll be fine.
It might work out. I'm sure that you had the same thought when you signed up for Twitter, and you probably, like me, signed up pretty much as soon as you heard about it, thinking, though, yeah, 140.
Yeah, this will be interesting. Yeah. I'm not sure. Well,
this will die out in about a year.
I am also the person when I got on the internet in like 1993 and started installing like Slackware on floppies, where I looked at email and said, well, I think email is great because I think email is going to bring back the breadth and depth of the written word. That it will sort of bring a resurgence of the love of writing and the nature of putting thoughts out into the world. And then Reddit happened, and I was like, I have never been more wrong before than I have in my life. And a friend of mine said, I can do you one better. And this is a guy who works professionally in IT, lives in Seattle. His name's Rob Wynn, and he'll completely own this statement. He got to look, and he and I are roughly the same age, and we got into like internet computing about the same time, mostly on Sun Spark stations in college. Yeah. And there used to be this thing called Gopher, and Gopher was sort of an indexed website system. And then one year, magically, Mozilla came out, and you know, the Netscape browser and all that stuff. And we looked at like one of the first internet browsers and said, and he said, that's interesting, but it's not as good as Gopher.
Well, he's probably correct.
Well, the nice thing about Gopher, it had a limited amount of information, so he may still be right. But it turns out that they did an entire Gopher archive. Somebody went and archived all of Gopher and put it somewhere for historical purposes. And it like fits on a relatively small flash drive. It's just sort of embarrassing that like this was the thing that we're like, look at all the information we have access to. And it just fits on like a thumb drive you get free at a conference.
Yeah. And now kids have no appreciation for them. Those damn kids.
Megabytes. What are those? You know,
they don't even think about storage. It's not even a thought in their mind. Anyway.
I put it in the cloud.
There is no cloud, just someone else's computer. All right. So, again, thank you for joining us. Thank you for doing the awesome DC TV work. And I know that especially all the guest announcements must kill you towards the end. Like, oh, man, not going to write for this. Not going to write for that.
Last minute changes? No, that's perfectly fine.
So
that's
I imagine you are incredibly busy right about now.
No, nothing going on. No, just ignore all those rendering computers in the background. It's fine.
It would be beneficial for you if Dragon Con was moved to the winter, because then at least all those PCs could, you know, keep your house warm.
Well, yeah, that is the thing, that right now I'm sort of at the peak of air conditioning and horsepower.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is really sort of a bad environmental combination. So, sorry, ozone layer.
Yeah. All right. Brian, again, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate you taking the time, and I appreciate all your volunteers. By the way, how big is the DC TV staff now about?
So if you look at the videography volunteers, like the people who make the show run during the con, it's 45 people across three departments, videography, video broadcast, and video production. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, in 2005, it was 9 people in one department. There are people outside of that that contribute to the production of the Dragon Con TV, sort of like the funny stuff. And so you'll have, it's not a one-to-one match. Like not everybody who's a full-time, or one of the volunteers or directors is in the cast or in the production. So like Stephen Grenade still contributes as on screen and a writer and an editor, but he's on Science Track. We have a lot of people who are costumers, cosplayers, who contribute and bring stuff, and outside contributors, sometimes guests bring videos in. So it's kind of this weird overlap where we're both DragonCon TV, but neither of us by ourselves is DragonCon TV. Mm-hmm. It's from a branding standpoint, it may have failed, but it still works.
Cool. Well, it's again a lot of people that put this together, and if you see any of the videographers or whatnot, you know, say hey, thanks, you know, thank them. Of course, don't.
Yeah, they deserve your thanks.
Because you know they're going to catch things that you're going to miss. And you know, as we all know, I was thinking about, yeah, even if you were to watch, if you watch all of your footage straight on, it would take weeks for you to probably catch everything that's DragonCon and miss DragonCon.
Yeah.
So anyway, but again, you guys try to get it all, and you know, just like those damn Pokemon.
Pokemon again.
I know, it's back to that.
We're working with that analogy again.
Yes. Okay, so until next time, this is John for Brian and the ill Lee. Get better, Lee. Saying until next time, peace.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow the Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.